Hi, everyone. Welcome to part three of our brand new series entitled How to Disciple a Believer. I'm John Sandy. We are Water and Word Ministries. Our website, check it out, waterandwordministries.com. Our program Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, is Think on These Things. It comes from the title of a book I finished recently. Well, we're talking about what it's like to be a disciple. If you haven't been with us part one and two, then I'll just do a quick review. Disciple means believer, but a believer doesn't necessarily mean you're ready to disciple. Jesus had disciples. They had the name disciples. That was their name. And yet they were a mess at times, weren't they? Just like you and I are a lot. So he had to deal with that. He said, how long do I need to be with you? So then we went into talking about how to train up a child, not teach a child in the way they should go, and how we need to get under people to mentor us, and how we need to mentor brand new believers. Now, if you're a brand new believer, you're already ready to testify. In fact, you need to testify. It's imperative that you build your faith up by sharing your testimony as soon as you're saved. But ready to disciple others is a whole different game. And unfortunately, a lot of people as Christians live their life on milk, never really get much on meat at all. In fact, they don't have control of their tongue or their minds. So we just want to slow down just a little bit here and talk about how important it is that we become true disciples of Christ, that we may now mentor those that are coming up behind us. In fact, it's something as a mentor, as you will grow in your faith, the more you can mentor, the more people you can help in different situations because your experiences, your life experiences from walking with God, not just life experiences from disobeying God and learning from them, which is awesome, but those leave scars. God never leaves a scar whenever he is in charge and walks you through something. Oh, you may have some battle things. You may be sore the next day. But you are ready for battle because you've already been in warfare. And God has a full life for all of us. Teaching others as disciples helps us to get information to people. And that's all important. But training changes the heart. Ah, there's the difference. You can teach people things, and that's all good. That's one of the five callings of the church is to be teachers, which is one of my callings, I believe, that God wants me to do. But I can only give you so much through teaching. You've got to take and apply it. Let me give you an example. I was an art teacher, and I could teach them on the board and give them examples and walk them through step by step everything they needed to do it. But they'll never know how to do it until they take the materials I give them and construct the project on their own where they look at me and say, Mr. Sandy, I get it. And that's one of the greatest things a teacher can hear from a student is, I get it, and that light comes on. It's a wonderful experience. So we teach people, we give them information. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying anything against it, but if you're going to prepare people for battle, for a walk with God on their own, then you need to train them, not just teach them. See, with knowledge, we perish without knowledge, so we need to be taught, but the application is where we're missing it. We're not applying it. We're going to church, we're listening to sermons, we're listening to people preach these wonderful messages, then we just go home. We don't chew on it, we don't meditate it, we don't think on these things. And we just go home just as empty as we came. Oh, we know something, but do we have a revelation of it? And that's another area that we can get into here. Everything starts with love. Everything. Let's go back for just a moment and talk about the Word of God, the truth, okay? The Bible tells us without faith it's impossible to please Him. But then he goes on to say these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. So in other words, love is greater than hope and faith. But he put it in those three orders. He said, you can't please me without faith, but you still need more than that. What do you mean? If faith pleases you, what else do I need? You need love because you can take truth and hurt people with it. So, and there's a reason why it says faith, hope, and love in that order. Because when you have love of Christ in your heart, then you have great reason to hope. Because you can trust Him. And because you have hope, you have every reason to have faith that He's going to work through you as well. It's in there for a reason in that order. So I wanted to share that with you quickly. So we teach people. That's awesome. Then we train them. We make practical application of our walk with God, and we do it starting with love. when training a dog. I put this down here as a little note because I have a dog and I'm a dog whisperer, as my daughter calls me, because I absolutely love dogs. And when I run, I have dog friends all over the place that wait for me when I run many times, or come to me when they see me at a distance. Why? Because I love them. They know they can trust me, and they know I love them. And because they know I love them, they are now susceptible to what I have to say. See, your words are empty. Your tongue is actually wicked if it's not under control. But if you have love of Christ, then your words are different. The tone in your voice, the way you move, your gentleness, your kindness, the way you use your hands, different things help to project that love. And more importantly, the Shekinah on your face, the light on your face, the love in your face tells people you're safe here. And so when I'm training my dog on certain things, the first thing I need to do is love him, and so that he will trust me, that he will know that I love him, and he comes right to me. And just loves it. He has fun. We just have a lot of good time together. And I'll try to teach him something. And he's not afraid of me because he knows I love him. And when I give him something that's hard to hear sometimes, and it takes a number of times of repetition, and we need that too in our lives. Sometimes we just need good repetition. Stay in the Word every day. Read the Word every day. Take times when God speaks to you to fast. Listen for his voice. Do the repetitious things. And when I say repetitious, don't dilute it by hearing me use the word repetition. It's just practicing. I heard a one man say this once, you know, practice makes perfect. He said this, practice makes permanent. I love that. Never forgot that was many years ago. And so when you do things repetitiously, it becomes a way of life. And you're empty without it. And all these things lead you to the one final conclusion of our God, and that is his love for us and understanding that love. Therefore, now we can love others. See, that's the area of discipleship that you can't offer. I can't offer you the love of Christ unless I know it myself. Oh, I can tell you and paint a pretty picture and tell you some wonderful scriptures to refer to in Psalms and Psalm of Solomon's and all these wonderful things. But until I experience God's love, how can I tell you about it? I can't even describe it. It's hard to describe anyway because it's so wonderful. But first, he loved us. And so we and just like with my dog, I love him. He trusts me. And so when I ask him to do things, he's listening. He's wanting to know, now, what was that you're trying to teach me? And then he learns. Then we are learned to be consistent in that love. And see, that's the thing that we lack, that we don't talk much about, excuse me, is consistency. We need to be consistent in a good way. So you can be consistent in a bad way. You hear people say, the devil told me this, the devil said that. Well, what's God telling you? Not just what's God telling you? Are you learning things? Are you hearing his voice? Don't you find it interesting when people, all they hear is the devil's voice and not God's? Well, we need to go back to start right at the beginning with the ABCs of Christianity. Sometimes you need to do that as a mentor, as a person that disciples others. You need to go back to the beginning sometimes with them and start. Because, see, whenever you stop obeying God and you go on your own and do your own will and you come back to God, you know what he's going to do? He's going to take you right back to your last obedience. You're not going to skip the line. You're not going to get promoted because you're cute or because you're excited about God. No, no. You're still going to go back to the same place because that's where your heart's at. He's going to take you right back where your heart is. He's going to have you to renew your mind, to guard your heart so that whatever comes out of your mouth is of God, which starts with love. So he responds to consistency. God does. And people you teach and train and work with and mentor and disciple, they're moved by your consistency. It's one thing to say something that's good or to do something that's nice and kind, and people see that and they applaud that and recognize that. But what really moves people is your consistency. Here's another example. I was out running one day, and there was a guy in a wheelchair, and he was having a hard time. He was pushing himself. It wasn't motorized. And I stopped, and I said, sir, I said, do you need some help? He said, no, I'm fine. You know what happened? He didn't believe me. So I said again, sir, I'm very serious. How can I help you? You know what he said? Well, I do need help here. See, he didn't believe me the first time, but I was consistent in my desire to help him. And that's what moves people is when you have a consistent walk. And so I took him half a mile. He needed to go to a bus stop. I wheeled him a half a mile and talked to him about the Lord and blessed him. And then I went back on my run, picked it up. Did I lose time? Not really, because this was more important. This was more important than what I was doing at that moment. Are you willing to give up what you're doing at the moment, even if you think it's important, because God's wanting you to do something else? Are you willing to put something on hold and do this? That's called being flexible. That's called being available. And that's also called being consistent. So as believers, followers of Christ, we need to be consistent in our walk. And one last thing in this section, let me say this. You can't train anyone anything you have not first lived yourself. In other words, you can't have a testimony without a test, and you can't have a testimony unless you've been through that test and you come out with a testimony, and it's powerful. Well, I'm John Sandy. This is Water and Word Ministries, and this program we're doing Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern Time is Think on These Things. Our series right now is How to Disciple a Believer. Remember, you can a disciple means believer, but believer doesn't necessarily mean you're ready to disciple. We're so glad to have you with us. Please hit like and share this program. Help us get the word out. It helps us so much. Please, please, please help us. I said it three times. Please, please, please help us get the word out as we volunteer our time to share the word. I encourage you to give Jesus a chance in your life. Even if it's your fifth or sixth, I don't care how many times, 70th, seven times 70. I don't care how many times it is. Go back to him. He's got the best for those that lead the choice to him. He's got the best for you. Man, he's got things for you you can't even imagine that are far beyond your comprehension, far beyond your personal dreams for yourself. That's how awesome he is. We want to continue tomorrow with our next step, part four. I was asking John to help me there. Part four on our new series. Join us tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And please share this and check out our website, waterandthewordministries.com. And don't forget, think on these things.